This is Leslie from Secretly Y'all, and Browning Porter, who has been one of our most regular performers, has decided graciously to come over and do a short interview with me about storytelling and his role in the Charlottesville storytelling scene and how he got into it. So just going to launch right in. I want to say thank you, Browning, for coming to our house tonight. It's
well,
very
thanks
nice.
For having me.
How did you get started telling stories to an audience?
Well, I have a background in poetry and being a singer-songwriter, and I have been writing and reading and reciting poems to people since I was a kid. And then I also always like to think of myself as a storyteller, as a raconteur, you know, growing up. And then I guess the idea of telling stories on stage first occurred to me when I saw the movie Swimming to Cambodia back in the mid-80s when I was still in college, and it made a big impression on me. And I remember thinking, oh, I wish I could do that. But I didn't feel like I could. I felt like, you know, Spalding Gray was so much more the performer than I could ever be. And that was actually before I got into performing music. And then I did, you know, about 15 years of writing and singing songs. And in that time, I learned how to be natural with an audience on, you know, from the stage, just from trying to think of things to say while my, you know, band partner was changing his guitar string and stuff like that. And those things that people do, the stories you tell when you're tuning. And as time went by, I kept feeling this need to do more with this. Then eventually, Bill Baldwin, the owner of the old Gravity Lounge, asked me one time if I knew anyone who performed monologues, because he wanted to do a show and he had a guy who was going to do a monologue and he needed another guy. Some other person. And did I know anyone? And I said, yeah, me. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. And he said, do you do monologues? Yes, I do. I do them. I'm going to do this one. And I grabbed the opportunity and I wrote the thing, and I was still finishing it the day, but really almost the day of the performance. I was putting the finishing touches on it. And I loved it. I absolutely loved doing it. And I just wanted to do more and more. And so I kept bugging people to let me do, you know, my musician friends, I'd say, hey, you know, let me be your opening act. And so they would, and I did
just
more,
as a spoken word
yeah,
artist.
Spoken
yeah.
word. And so I, yeah. you know, I would do 20, 30 minute stories. I would write them beforehand again. And a lot of times I would book the show and then write the story. And I would be finishing them at the last minute. And I did probably a half a dozen or so of those. Last spring, I decided, and in the meantime, I discovered a lot more stuff. I was listening to a lot of This American Life, and
yeah,
I discovered The Moth. Which is
a huge influence on
sure.
us, yeah?
Yeah, And of course, all of that stuff, you know, through the years, too, listening to old This American Life years ago. And so I decided that Charlottesville needed something like this. It was high time Charlottesville had something like The Moth. And I decided to try to put on a story slam as part of the Virginia Festival of the Book. I guess that was last spring, so that will be last year by the time you're probably hearing this podcast, in 2009. And that was a blast, and there were 8 storytellers, and it was really a lot of fun and very well received, and I was very excited to do it again, but it was just hard to find the time and energy to organize it. And so I'm really grateful and excited that I'm not the only person in town who thought that this was a good idea.
Not at all, not at all. And we have a little advantage because there are 3 of us So we get the work done. We split up the work, and it really makes all the difference. I really liked the connections between music and storytelling, sort of, that you've made in this interview so far. I often think about my favorite songs, and the ones that are great are ones that have a clear narrative. That's why I like Prince, I'm not going to lie. His songs are like stories, and they take you on this journey of, you know, meeting this woman in a raspberry beret and riding down the road with her in a convertible and you know, kind of take a more adult twist. But when I think about my favorite songs, a lot of them have really clear narratives. Are there any songs that you can think of, or songs that you wrote? Did most of your songs have narratives, or were they more musical qualities and sort of just a hook and some verses, more of a poetry quality, or were some of them stories?
Well, I definitely wrote a lot of story songs, but you know, I kind of did all of the above. And it's interesting. I think a lot about form. I think because I have been a songwriter and have been a poet, and those are two genres in which narrative is just one of the tools that you can use. I think a lot about the possibilities of telling stories that are not, you know, obviously not poetry, but maybe don't necessarily fit the sort of standard narrative arc. I was thinking too about how when you have something like Secretly All, which is, you know, it's not fiction. It's you're basically drawing from your own life. You're telling true stories about your own experiences. And one of the things that I found, even in just trying to figure out what stories I wanted to tell, is that the stories from our lives don't always fit the classical narrative arc either, you know? And so it's hard to find sometimes something that you can tell in, you know, 7 minutes or less that, you know, where you sort of introduce yourself as a protagonist, a conflict arises, there are complications, and then it resolves. Often, you know, the things that happen to us are not, they just don't fit that template. Or if they do, they may not be that interesting. You know, it may be, you know, I got stuck in traffic and then I did this and this and this and finally I got home. You know, well, who cares? Yeah. And sometimes the more interesting things are maybe not necessarily, you know, that arc. It might be a kind of juxtaposition of things that happened and how they, what they meant when they resonated with each other, or and so I don't know. I think that the most important thing to me is when you get up there, you need to give your audience a reason to feel like they are in the right place hearing you talk to them. And sometimes, you know, a good narrative arc where they get hooked in you know, what's going to happen, and then you bring them to the conclusion. Sometimes that is really the best and maybe even the easiest way to do it. But it's not the only way to do it. And sometimes, you know, you can have a narrative arc that is okay and it kind of gives you the scaffolding, but then what people really, you know, come for the narrative but stay for the jokes, you know, or some other aspect of it, the music of it, the music of the way people talk, or the ways that, you know, just a beautiful, fantastic image can capture your imagination. And that's something that I think I get from poetry, because poetry, that's the way poetry often works. It doesn't, it's actually, I would say most poems don't have a narrative. That's kind of a minority of poetry is narrative poetry. But at the same time, I do think that it's a good idea to try to find those narrative arcs and see if you can pull that off, you know.
Is there any advice you would give to somebody who's thinking about telling a story who has never really done anything in front of a big audience before? We like to think that this is a pretty easy event for somebody who's never done anything like this to just come to and participate in. Any words of encouragement to kind of get those people who are on the edge up on our stage?
Well, one thing I would say is that don't worry that you're going to be nervous. It's actually good to be nervous. Being nervous is going to give you energy that is going to make you more interesting. And some of the most brilliant performances I've ever seen have been by people who were practically fainting with fear and horror. And that made them that much more brilliant. And the other thing is that it gets easier the more you do it, but you have to do it that first time. And when you do it that first time, what happens is the nervousness may never completely go away, but you get used to handling it and sort of channeling it into your performance in a positive way. And so you think, you know, oh, isn't that interesting? I'm nervous again. You know, I've done this for 20 years, but yeah, I'm still nervous. Yeah. That's good. I'm happy I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, what you don't want to be is bored. So I would keep that in mind.
Thank you very much for coming and visiting us and spending a few minutes speaking to me. Are you going to be performing at our next Secretly Y'all?
Yes.
All right. So come out and see Browning on the 17th of January, 7 p.m. at Random Row Books. Our theme will be overworked and underpaid, and we have some good people lined up. So thanks for tuning in.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.